If you have your Bibles, we'll turn with me tonight to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. For remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, and consider the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your love, for your mercy. And we ask, God, you'd reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power of your divine grace. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, grab your neighbor's hand, look them right now and say, hey, tomorrow's going to be better. Amen. Several years ago, I was in Louisiana. I was on my way home from revival. It was late. And I came through this town that I passed through several times, and it was the parish seat, like we have county seats. I don't know, you've rode around much in Alabama. You know, some of our rural counties, the courthouse is in the middle of town and everything goes around it. One in particular I can think of is Pickens County, where the face is in the window. Amen. That's another story. But this particular town, this parish in Louisiana, was the same way, a little country parish. And there was the courthouse right in the middle of town. You had to drive all the way around it. And it's amazing, but it was one way. The road I wanted was right there, but I couldn't turn to it. I had to go all the way around the courthouse to get back to that road. I went through there two or three times that week, and I was headed back through there, and I was coming back home, and it was extremely late. I don't know, service must have gone over or whatever. And it was like, I say extremely late, it was like 12 o'clock, and I still had 4 hours to get or 3 hours to get home. And I'll never forget, I was just pretty tired. I'd been working all week with the revival and stuff, and I went through that town, and there was a store sitting there across from the courthouse, and it was open at night. And it's one of those old grocery stores that had the old drink boxes out front. It was open 24/7, so they just had the old boxes with the flip lids on them. Some of y'all going, what are you talking about? They didn't have glass doors. You went in and looked in. They had the boxes and had Coke or Pepsi wrote on it, and you had to lift lid up to see what was inside. And I got there, and I got me a drink out, and, of course, y'all know what kind of drink I got out. There's only two kind of drinks. It's hot Diet Mountain Dew and cold Diet Mountain Dew. And I got one of them, and I pulled the top off of it. And of course, these were the old bottles that you... And I popped the top on the thing, and I'm sitting there getting ready to drink it. And the fellow was sitting there on the drink box. He said, you going to get anything inside yet? And I said, no. He said, well, you mind if I sit here? I said, no, go ahead. He was sitting on the drink box out front. In our conversation, I found out it was his brother owned the store, and he worked every night there at the store. So I just turned and jumped up on the box and sat with him a while. And we were sitting there, and I looked across the road, and on the courthouse above the door was the title of my message. Yesterday is a prelude of tomorrow. I looked at him, I said, you ever thought about what that means? He said, I sit out here and ponder and study on it every night. Big old wad of tobacco hanging out the side of his mouth. And I said, well, what do you think it means? He said, I reckon it means you ain't seen nothing yet. Glory. But the truth of the matter is, our yesterdays are only a prelude of what tomorrow could be. Notice what it tells us in Proverbs. In the 19th chapter, in the 20th verse, said, hear counsel and receive instructions, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Amen. Now, the word translated latter end there is a Hebrew word, which simply is this, ak harith. It's something you ought to practice. It is actually the practice of taking a look back before you take a step forward. And what the proverb writer was trying to tell us, the smartest man that ever lived, simply said this: if you really want to know how to have good counsel and come out right on the end, think about where you've been and where you are and ask yourself, am I going where I want to be? And we need to understand that if our yesterday was bad, we need to change that day. But if our yesterday was good, we need to understand tomorrow can be even better. Could you say amen? Somebody said, preacher, do you believe that? If we're not careful, we'll continue to relive the past instead of using the form for our future. Amen. I mean, you know, I remember when the Church of God used to have revival. And I remember as an evangelist, I used to hate to hear how everybody talked about how we used to have revival. They'd come in and talk about, we used to do this, and we used to do that, and we used to do the other. If you ain't still doing it, ain't nobody changed but you. Glory. Come on, church. I just read the scripture. If Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, whatever he did then, he still do now. And whatever he can do now, he can do it in the future. It's just us that's got to get back to the place we believe that God can do what he used to do. And God is able like he used to be able. Come on, church. Amen. I was preaching revival in Lipscomb one time, and Frida's uncle Clyde came to our revival. He's 80-something years old. He got up to testify. He said, I remember when I was a teenager running tent meetings over in Mississippi. Said, I'd get excited, and I'd run back there and run up the pole. He said, now common horse sense says I can't run up no pole now, but I can walk back there and look up it. Glory. His point was, I might not get to do what I used to do, but I can do as much of it that I can, see what God will do with it. Amen. Come on, church. You know, if we can but believe, all things are possible unto them that believe. And I still believe that we're going to see a move of God in the church. Amen. We're going to see God begin to move again. We're going to see miracles again in the house of God. We're going to see healings again. We're going to see God do some great things. Could you say amen? Amen. Glory. Somebody said, preacher, do you believe that? Amen. Yes. See, there are some things that are good to remember. Deuteronomy 32. This is what it said. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father and he will show thee. Thy elders and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided the nations with inheritance. When he separated the sons of Adam and he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord portioned his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. And he found him in a desert land. And he wasted howling wilderness. And he led him about and instructed him. And kept him as the apple of his eye. For as the eagle stirreth up her nest and fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, and taketh them, and breaketh them in the wings. So the Lord also alone did lead him, and there was no strange gods with him. What did it say? It said God picked Jacob out, took him in the wilderness, led him and instructed him and taught him everything he needed to know so he could have a relationship with God. Amen, church, can I tell you, because he stuck with God, God kept his promise. Because he stuck with God, God changed his yesterday and gave him a tomorrow that just would not wait. Come on, church. Amen. Have you ever thought about this? His son Joseph gets sold into slavery. His son Joseph ends up in prison. His son Joseph then becomes the second ruler of the mighty nation just about time of drought comes. And Joseph had enough of God in him to understand, ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You know what he was thinking? When his dad showed up, he said, hey, I did all of this because God made a promise to my daddy. And if I wasn't here, he couldn't fulfill that promise. But everything I went through because God was giving my dad a tomorrow that will not wait. Can I tell you, the church didn't get started to fall apart. It's not going downhill and it's not going to die. God's going to have a remnant that's going to hang on. And I believe that tomorrow is the future of the church and it's greater than anything we've ever seen. Could you say amen? Glory. Somebody said, preacher, do you really believe that? I sure do. David, in his time of distress, life ain't so good. David's messed up. He's a man after God's own heart. Hello? But he, like everybody else, he got so busy being king, he quit being David the shepherd. He got his mind off God, started looking at his neighbor's wife, ends up committing adultery with her, and then to clear himself, he had him killed. The baby dies. He's trying to pray through. And listen to what he said in Psalms 145. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the works of thy hand. I stretch forth the hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee, as it thirsteth land. Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, and thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, in thy name's sake, for the righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And if of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. What did he say? He said, when I got to the bottom of the pit, I remembered the days of old. I remembered the works of God. Can I tell you, honey, if you'll just start thinking back about what God's already done for you, David's not talking about something God did for somebody else. He said, I remember when you gave me the power to take out a lion in the wilderness and a bear, and when old Goliath fell before me and every one of his friends fell before me and his brother went before me. I remember when the armies fell and they sang great songs of me because of your power, and because of that I cry out for you and I thirst for you. If there's ever been a day we need to get a hold of yesterday and remember what God did and let it happen again in the house of the Lord. Every once in a while we ought to write down what God's done for us and just recant it to ourselves. Amen. I'd be all night. Hello? I got two kids when the doctor still says we can't have kids. Now they multiplied. I got a couple of three extras. Hello? Amen. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? I've seen God do some great things. Somebody asked me the other day, said, you really believe God can heal? I said, I don't just believe it, I know he can. I know in 1974 God healed my mama of terminal cancer. It's not a guessing game. I know it happened. She didn't live a few more months and then die. And he said, well, you know, it came back. No, she died 31 years later and she was still cancer-free. So I know my God can heal. When I think about God answering prayer, I think about my dad praying and the prayer I heard him pray when he was facing open heart surgery and they told him he had a 5% chance of living. And my dad said, God, I don't need another life, but if you just give me a year and a half, if you just give me 18 months and let me get my life back where it needs to be and get my family back where they need to be, I'll be proud to come home. Glory. You say, well, that's real good, preacher, but how'd it work out? 18 months to the day of the week he prayed that prayer. On a Thursday morning in December of the next year, he died. 18 months later, God answered his prayer. I didn't realize that till I put it together and started realizing God showed it to me, and I realized God answered his prayer. When my dad left, I had a hard time because I'd never known him as a Christian, and all of a sudden he gets saved, and for 18 months, I could talk to him about preaching. I can hear him quote scripture without having him put me down, and all of a sudden I'm thinking, this is going to be awesome. And then he was gone. And then I realized he prayed for a year and a half. God gave him a year and a half exactly to the day he asked for. And I'm going, yeah, that's the God I serve. That if I'm technical with him, he will give me that I asked for. Amen. Come on, church, smile at me. Some of y'all look at me like, wait a minute. Some of y'all need to have a past you can look at and say, wait a minute. If something happens, I can hold on to that and say, wait a minute. The God that did that is the same God that can do this. And whatever I need done right now, he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above all I'd ever ask or think. And the God that can do it now is the God that holds my future, and I'm not worried about tomorrow because yesterday is a prelude of what God will do in my future. Woo! I gotta move on. I'll preach all night. See, the thing about this, there's some things we need to forget. Hello? Some of us has got past we don't want nobody to find out about. Ah, come on. All of you got some skeletons back there. And their bones are rattling. Somebody grabs them. I've been in church all my life. I'm sure that if we looked hard enough, I got somebody going, oh God, is he looking? No, we're not looking, but if we did. I can tell you this, if there's some skeletons back there, you might ought to get them out of the closet and break them up on your own. Because if you don't handle them, they'll come back and see you. Hello? But listen to what Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 3. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Hello? Paul said, look, I ain't got there yet. I don't know about y'all, but I ain't either. Now, I know some of y'all are perfected. Don't look at me like that, because I have some of you come to me all the time telling me what everybody else is doing. So you've got to be perfect. Smile. Some of y'all better smile. They're going to know who it is. Amen. You need to go tell so-and-so. Hell, come on, church, smile. I got some of you stirred up over that. You're afraid I'm fixing to start talking. I'm not going to tell nobody. This lady come up to me one night and started telling me about their church. I was running a revival, and she felt like I was. She said, I need to share something with you. I said, really? She said, yes. She said, you're the first spiritual man I've met in months. And I'm thinking, me? You know, I'm not even sure I was sanctified that night. Come on, church, smile at me. Y'all had them days where you were just getting by, and she come up thinking, I'm spiritual. And I'm thinking, whoo, she's seen something I ain't seen. I'm just trying to get through the day, and she's talking about how spiritual I am. But I was really afraid of what was coming next, because the next thing out of her mouth was, you know we got problems here. I said, really? She said, yeah. I said, what is that? She said, what's that? I said, that right there. She said, look. She's looking. I said, that, what is it? She said, your ear. I said, thank God. I thought it was a garbage can. She was trying to dump something in it. Glory. Ah, come on, church. Smile at me. Later on that week, she came down the altar. She said, I need you to pray for me. I said, what you need, sister? She said, it's my tongue. I said, I'm not sure there's that much praying in the world. Glory. She repented, so I guess she didn't get mad. I'm going to have a prayer line in a minute for those that think they made it. Glory. But now notice, Paul said, I've not yet made it. But this one thing I'm going to do for myself, I'm going to let go of yesterday. There's some things in yesterday that hurt me. There's some things in yesterday that take away my joy. There's some things in yesterday that I cannot keep a hold of and have the peace that pass all understanding. And he said, this one thing I'm going to do for myself, I'm going to get rid of yesterday. Because if I don't get rid of that yesterday, I'm never going to have a tomorrow. And some of you hanging on to the wrong yesterday. Instead of remembering what God's done for you, you keep remembering everything that's happened to you. And you keep feeling sorry for yourself. And it's time some of you woke up and realized, if I'm going to have a good tomorrow, I got to get rid of the bad yesterday, because as long as I hold on to it, it's going to keep messing up my tomorrow. Some of you need to let go of what you have done to others. Paul made this statement. Have you ever heard what Paul said in the book of Galatians? He said, you remember my conversation in time past about the church of God and how I wasted it? You know what he said? He said, when I was trying to kill everybody, it was Christians. You think you got a load of stuff to get rid of? Think about a man that killed people because they were Christians. Think about a man that went in houses and drugged the mom and daddy out and had them stoned to death just because they were Christians. Think about a man who held the coats of those that stoned Stephen to death and thought, man, this is a life's work for me. Amen. And he's doing that. He was on his way to kill some more Christians when he bumped into the guy they were serving. And the next thing you know, you tell me God ain't got a sense of humor. He takes the very guy killing people as Christians and turns him into the greatest preacher of his day. Next thing you know, they're looking for him. He's got to slip out of town because the people been stoning with him or trying to find him because they found out he's a Christian. Glory. But Paul said, I got to forget about what I've done to others because if I remember it, I'll never sleep at night. But notice this. He also had to forget about what others did to him. Some of y'all relish in the wars you fought and the scars you got when you ought to forget those scars. Come on, church. Well, that fella did me wrong. I ain't never going to forgive him. And he's liable to get forgiveness for himself and get over there and have church somewhere and live right and have peace and you over there having a hard time. Oh, come on. We got guys. Well, I just can't stand that woman did me wrong. Just throw my own wife away. You get remarried and you can't forget the first wife. You ain't have fun. You can't love the second wife because you're too busy hanging on the first one. You're mad because you didn't want to be alone. Y'all may not believe this, but I know men that can't get over some woman that dumped before they married their first wife. And they've lived all this time with their first wife thinking about what life could have been like if they'd have married the other woman. What you ought to do is go find that woman and walk up to her and say, thank you, because I got rid of you. I found a real woman. Glory. Some of you ladies ought to go to that man and say, the best thing you ever did to me was treat me that way. Made me pray through and help me find a real life instead of some jerk like you. Glory. Come on, church. And I said, you battling now. No, I'm preaching the truth. Some of you can't be happy right now because you keep hanging on to junk in your past you ought to get rid of. You ought to forgive them and forget it. Don't hang on to it. You've not forgiven them till you bury it somewhere besides between their eyes. Glory. That's good preaching. Amen. I'm moving on. You got to realize that tomorrow is going to be better. Psalms 30 and 5. For his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Hello? Come on, church. My Lord, that's awesome stuff. Amen. Listen, Jeremiah's in prison. While he's in prison, he gets a lot of visions and he sees God and he worships God. And hanging there in that place, he writes these words. It is the Lord's mercies that are not that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. For the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Some of you need to get over it. That's all there is to it. Amen. Come on, church. I like this. We got folks that are so happy in their problems, they don't want to get over them. Amen. God can't deliver you because you ain't got a life. Hello? Well, you can preach if you want somewhere where you're new people. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but somebody needs to hear what I'm saying. You're kind of like the guy Daystar in Northport when the pastor called a healing service, and he was on the pastor's council of the deacon board at that church, and he didn't show up. And all of a sudden, the pastor called next morning and said, why weren't you there? He said, man, I just got my disability started. If I got healed, it'd mess up my whole life. I was eating lunch with Brother Shatzline that day, and I looked at him and I said, well, at least he's got faith enough to believe something might happen if he showed up. Glory. He said, that's true. That's probably better if some of them showed up and nothing happened. Glory. Hello? Some of you, if you got healed, you've got no more conversation. If God started to provide for you, you wouldn't have nothing to whine about. You just wouldn't have a life at all. But what we've got to do is get to that place where we realize God is new every day. His mercies are everlasting. And because of that, I get up in the morning saying, I worship you. And from the coming up of the sun to the going down thereof, let the name of the Lord be praised. Oh. I'm going to close. I get an amen on that. Some of y'all sat there and just looked at me and I said, I'm going to close. Amen. Glory. Haggai. Have y'all ever just sat down and read the book of Haggai? And then came the word of the Lord to Haggai the prophet, saying, it is time, or is it time for you, O ye that dwell in your sealed houses, and the house, my house, lie waste. Boy, does that not sound right? Everybody won't get blessed at home and just let the church go to pot. Glory. As long as I'm getting blessed, it's all right. No, it ain't. God's telling the people, Haggai, you got around here and built you a house. My temple's still tore down. This is during the time of the rebuilding of Jerusalem, the rebuilding of the temple. And they've gone and fixed them places to live, got them nice houses, but the house of God's still laying waste. God said, is it time for you to do that? Listen to what he said. See if it don't work in here. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord, consider your ways. You sow much, and you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put in a bag with holes. Does that not sound like the day we're living? And no matter how hard you work, you don't have enough. And about time you think you got it covered, something else takes some of it. And you earn money and you put it in a bag and it's like there's a hole in it because before you get home, you're broke again. Glory. Thus saith the Lord, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. And I'll take pleasure in it and I'll be glorified, saith the Lord. You know what he said? He said, if you get busy working on my house and quit worrying about yours, then what you got will multiply a whole lot quicker. Come on, church. See, some of us are sitting around trying to figure out how we're going to do this. How are we going to do this? What you got to do is get to work for God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and what's going to happen? All these things will then be added unto you. If you become more concerned about what's going on in God's house and how to make God's house better and how to make God's house work, how to worship more than you've ever worshiped. See, people say you get concerned with God's ministry and money will always flow where ministry's taking place. And if you begin to do the things of God, God will find a way to supply your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I guarantee you, I've lived this way for 30-something years and I'm not changing the day of tomorrow. I know that as long as I keep my mind on him and what he wants, I got a God who's going to take care of me, who's going to provide for me, who's going to cover my losses. Could you say amen? You say, preacher, you're crazy. Maybe. But in all the years I evangelized, there was only about a handful of them I actually paid for my own gas. Because God provided. I was one of those kind of guys that was a little efficient with what I had. I remember pulling up gas stations, if it's 64 cents a gallon, I drove all and left it. I'd die for a couple of them now. Somebody said, preacher, are you crazy? No, but this thing is. It flipped on me. Amen. I don't know why. I guess it's telling me to hurry up. Haggai chapter 2 gives us a prophecy of God. He tells Haggai, build the house. I don't know if you understand this, but when they got ready to build the temple, they kept arguing over how to do it. You ever notice that we got to have committee meetings over everything? We can't just do it. It's all got to be complicated. We can't just say, we're going to do this and then just do it. We got to have all the, listen, church, we need to quit worrying so much about how it's going to happen and just do it. I come up under the guise of a very wise man and said, anything worth doing is worth doing badly. His name's Billy Graham. Because he said, if we wait till we get it right, we won't ever do it. And that's what's wrong with the church. We got to wait till it's perfected before we try it. You know, you got people, well, God called me to preach. I know guys that got called to preach the same year I did, and they still ain't preaching. You know why? They couldn't figure out how they could do it. I don't know how to do it. I thank God I had enough sense to just go ahead and hit it and see what happened. And let's face it, some of my early preaching was horrible. Look at my wife. I went from 4 minutes to an hour and 45 minutes. That was the difference in my first two sermons. I learned there had to be a minimum somewhere. Glory. But the reality is, I didn't wait till I graduated from homiletic school. I didn't wait till I'd read 500 books. I just jumped out there and went at it. When I became a carpenter, I didn't go to school to learn to be a carpenter. I got out there and beat my fingers up, got splinters all in my hand. I mean, cut myself a few times, done all kind of goofy stuff. But in the end results, I became a carpenter that was pretty good at what I was doing. But I didn't wait till I learned how to do it to start doing it. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Some of you keep going, I'll witness when I learn how. If you'll just be honest with people and love them, God will help you be a witness if you'll just start doing it. Well, preacher, I don't like your theory. Well, you see these lights? Aren't you glad that Thomas Edison started working on building lights for you? He knew how to make one. On the 100th try, burnt down his warehouse. Somebody said, well, I guess you'll quit. He said, why? I know 100 things won't work. And according to an executive of Alabama Power, this is scary. He retired, thank God. He's talking to some adults, senior adults at a Baptist church that I spoke at that day. And he's giving them some things about candlefoot power. And all of a sudden he said, just think, if Thomas Edison had not made the light bulb, you'd have to watch TV in the dark. I looked over the pastor. I said, that scares me. But the truth of the matter is, the Wright brothers couldn't fly. They flew, 10, 12 feet and crashed? We go all over the world now because they tried. Ivory soap's there because of a mistake. Dude was cooking soap and went to sleep. Woke up the next morning, they threw all the soap out in the river in the back, saw it floating, and went, hey, it's an idea. And that's how you got ivory soap. It wasn't because somebody knew how to make it float. Guy made a mistake. From then on, they burn it on purpose. Glory. Hello? Smile at me. Some of y'all said, preacher, you know that. It's a fact. Look it up. Snoops will tell you that I'm telling you the truth. Amen. Come on, church. Smile at me. Somebody said, what are you getting at? You got to realize we need to get after it. Notice what he said. He said, just build my temple. Just do what I've asked you to do. Get after it. And what's he say in the 9th verse, the 2nd chapter? For the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in his place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. What's he saying? He said, if you'll get busy working on my house, yesterday is a simple prelude of what you'll see tomorrow. Hallelujah. Oh, we've seen times when God's done some great things, but yesterday is a prelude of what God can do tomorrow. We've seen times when people's been healed and people's been saved, but yesterday is a prelude of tomorrow. I want to tell you something, honey. I believe what that guy in Louisiana knew what he's talking about. I don't believe we've seen anything yet. I believe my God's going to get better and better every year that goes by, and there's coming a time down the road where we're going to look back at yesterday and say, man, I'm glad I lived then, but I'm glad I'm alive now, because God is as good right now as he's ever been. His power is as good now as it's ever been. His grace is sufficient now as it's ever been. His joy is as unspeakable and full of glory as it's ever been. His peace pass all understanding for me. Stand with me all over the house. Glory. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we thank you today, God, for your love and your mercy. Oh, God, touch us tonight with your grace. Hallelujah.